All right, we're now beginning tape two with William Havey, who came from Ukraine in 1923, when you were 18. And it's March 18th, and Mr. Havey's son is in the room with us, and Lauren Lancaster is leading the interview. And Lauren, why don't we pick up with Mr. Havey right where we left off?
Okay, go ahead and finish talking. You said you were starting to move south.
Yeah, we was running. Yeah, we left. Well, everybody left village and was running, and there was creek, you know, and then a river. But everybody was running that way, and we wind up in town. See, you know, instead, well, we couldn't go through the river, but we like get a little bit to the road and get into the town, and. And then they brought that killer Russian, you know, that Cossack. They brought him on a wagon, you know, to town near Polish church. And two wounded Cossacks, but that one was killed, you know. So everybody look around at that wagon. They want to see them. Russians, you know, we never call them Russians, we call them Muscali, because they was Muscovian, you know, not Russian, long time ago. So I wanna see that, you know, but I wasn't that big, you know, so I grabbed by the side of the wagon, you know, it was ladder. And I wanna stick my head, you know, and see that guy. So I did, but that one of these guards, you know, the government guards. So he just see what I was looking, you know, what I was doing, and grabbed me and smacked me on the face, you know. So. But I see the guy anyway, see? So, and Russians, they call that they wanna that killed one, you know, that they wanna that kill man back because he was from some kind big people, you know, in Russia. So they send him back. They send him to that place there, and then the other guys, they come and pick him up and took him to Russia. And then after we was one night, we slept on a field someplace on the other side of town, and next day we went back to village. And next day it was nothing. Russians didn't come in. These Cossacks, they went back. They lost, you know, and people see there is nothing, so they went back. And about 2 weeks later, Russian army didn't come from the north, they come from the east, you know, and people again, they know where to run, you know. So that's when I chased my one horse out, and that horse got killed. So. But people was, you know, they was hiding in a foxholes, you know. But Russian come in at that time, and they already stay until retreat, until next year. That was 1942. So. So when Russian was, that was all right, army, we had, our village was next to the main highway, you know. It's a dirty road, what I call, you know, main highway, like, and through the city, and it was going more south. So, So they a lot of them they used to walk. They did walk, and a lot of them they was going by train, you know. So every time they go, we see the train coming, you know, with full of soldiers, Russian soldiers. Right away, kids was running to that train, you know, to watch. And this soldier was throwing sugar, you know, lumps of sugar and candy to the kids. So we used to like that. And these guys, they walk, like they got to the village, and it was already late, so they want to stay for the night there, so they was doing cooking. They cook good, walk with kasha, they call, you know, with a lot of fat in it, you know. And whatever they didn't finish eating, they give to the kids, you know. Kids used to come with, and they had left over a lot. So they was giving you a lot of stuff. So they was all right, see. So everybody liked it.
You said it was kasha it was called?
Yeah, that, How is
it? It's buckwheat, yeah, kasha is.
Ask a Jewish lady what kasha is. She'll tell you.
A lot of people who lived in that part of the world ate kasha. I mean, it was a staple of their diet. Yeah.
So soldiers used to eat kasha the most, and borscht. You heard about borscht?
Explain what borscht is.
Well, that like soup made out of beets, red beets, you know. And then they throw the cabbage, you know, fresh cabbage. And they making borscht. They sell it in the bottles in the supermarket, borscht. Mm-hmm. But Jewish people, they know. They tell you, you know. So that was their meals. They say borscht and kasha, pishanasa. That borscht and that kasha, that was their meals. So it wasn't like army, like American army, you know. We was thrown away because I spent almost 4.5 years, I know, you know. We was getting, when I got to the army, 1941, so we had good food, you know, garrison food. A lot of sudden fried chicken, you know, a lot of stuff. I started to gain weight there. See? And if you don't eat everything, if you ate too much, if you something didn't finish it, there was still a whole lot, you throw it in the garbage. See? I was throwing away a lot of stuff.
You were telling us about how the soldiers would share the food with you if they had leftovers.
What, the food?
The Russian soldiers.
Oh, the Russian. Yeah, yeah. They was giving to kids. You go there, you know, they was just like your own. They was nice, friendly. But a lot of them, they spoke our language, you know, because they was from region. They call Volyn. That was the biggest part of Ukraine that was under the Russia. So that was all right. Like on the station, you know, on the railroad station, Austria, they had a lot of, you know, big warehouse supplies, flour, you know, all different things, you know. So that was given to the people. You went over there, you get yourself a bag, 100-pound flour. They give it to you.
Can you talk about as how things changed when the Russians were retreating? You said things were very different, that they were nice while the Russians were there.
Yeah, well, that was nice to civilian people, but they was chasing Austrians, see?
But how did things change when the Russians were leaving?
Well, when Russians was leaving and Germans was doing advance, you know, because they help, well, they went against Russia. So they was firing and that town there, that where we went to school and church, it was maybe, oh geez, maybe 2/3 was burned out. See, there was artillery was firing, you know, and right there. There wasn't much. We had something in our village, you know, some shells just was going over the village, you know. But the people was running all over.
Can you tell us about events that happened leading up to you getting separated from your mother? Like the events that happened before that, before you got separated from your mother and went to live in Russia?
Yeah, well, like in Kyiv, you see, they, these old people, you know, jobs, so they told them, you work and your kids, we're going to take care of your kids.
Right. Well, what happened before then, between when, you know, the Germans started advancing?
Yeah.
And then you got separated from your mother? What happened in between there?
When German was advancing, when they came to our place, we was already far away from our place, see? From town to town, you know, and we wind up in Kyiv.
And that's when you got separated?
That's where everybody got separated. Polish people out altogether. And Russians, they had something to Ukrainian because they said, well, that's part of Russia, see? So, that was it.
No.
So all people work, and like my mother, she, when war was over, she went back. They had different, I don't know how they, what kind, how they want me. We have to go with all Austrian prisoners, the one that was in prison, you know, on that train. That was regular train, you know, and we get on that and go. Nobody bother us.
I think, Lauren, because Mr. Havy's lunch is being prepared upstairs, I think maybe we should begin him on his way to America. Although I'm sure there's like a lot more in here that we could explore. But I think that dinner's going to be on in a little while, so we should probably get Mr. Havy to America. So you might want to skip to that part of the interview.
Okay.
Unless, is there one more question you'd like to ask along this line, these lines, or?
No, we can start moving. Well, then, can you tell us about after your mother had already been in America?
Yeah.
Since she went in 1921.
Yeah.
And then you went in 1923 to meet her with your sister.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about traveling to the port?
My mother say at those days, to come to this country, you have to have somebody in this country. Like my mother had cousin here, you know, in Jerusalem. So he get her to this country. And when my mother got there, so they start to work on us, you know, to get us. So they send us papers, and we have to wait for that number, you know, and took about 2 years, and we got to this country.
What did you have to do to get ready to leave? To get ready to prepare?
Well, we have to go with papers, you know. We have to go to county town, and we have to go to Warsaw, you know, to with all different papers, you know. And but everything was going all right.
Did you want to come to America?
Did I want to? Well, I would go any place. Yeah, I want to go. I know a lot of people from my town. They was in this country. My uncle was here twice. Another uncle, the one that's still there, Malenka's father, you know, he was in Columbus, Ohio. That's where she was born, you know. So he was here. A lot of people from that place where I come from, you know, a lot of people, villagers, they went to America. It was easy to come before the war, you know. It was easy as long as you had you could buy ticket, you know, you go, see. So some of them people, they went over here, they made some money, you know, maybe they was here a year or two, they went back and buy a piece of land. And they need some more money, which they couldn't get any place else. They come back here again. They work here another sometime, whatever, and they went back and they fixed their barn. That's how they was doing, see. And some people, they come here to stay. Like they had put it off going there to stay, so we didn't have nothing to do over there no more. So I come here to stay.
What did you know about America?
What I knew about America?
What did you think about it?
Well, what I heard, you know, those people that I was here already, you know, and they come back there, I heard a whole lot about America. But some people, that they think different. I was young, very young. I worked on the railroad, you know, on the tracks. So for me, it was, you have to work, see? But some people over there, they thought, you know, that when you go to America and you're gonna get money in the gutter, you know, see? Some of them, they was thinking this way. But a lot of people was different. So because when I got here, you know, I got here in about maybe Thursday, and one day I went to work.
Okay, what sort of things did you take with you to when you came to America? Belongings that you had? Did you bring anything with you on the boat?
No, just clothing, that's all. One suit. There was enemy. Don't need anything.
Can you describe what it was like saying goodbye? I mean, did you have people in, you know, in Ukraine that you were saying that you had to say goodbye to?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, so a lot of people, they come to the station, you know, to see me go. And I know one guy come to see, come to the station, see, and to see what's going on. A lot of people come in, you know. And that guy wind up in Canada in 1927. Canada was getting a lot of immigrants from Europe, you know, from Eastern Europe, to work on the farms in the, so I went to, and I went, my uncle went that time, he went to Alberta, you know, on the farm. And that guy, that one guy there, I went to see him, and he said he remembered me, that he was at the station. I knew he was, but I wanna, and he told me it was a little drizzling, so I know it was drizzling, you know. So when he said that, I was sure that he was there. They die already. They die in Alberta. There's a lot of farms. They, you get, long time ago in Alberta, anybody went over there, the government give you one farm, 150 acres, wooden farm, wooden place. And you want to clean out that, it's yours. $10 cost you. So if you went over there and you clean up a little bit and make some kind shed that you could stay there, so they knew that you're going to do something. But the one that they want to do anything, you know, they give you money back, $10, and get out. But a lot of them, they get these farms and they made for pretty good. Ukraine got big name in Alberta, you know, that they build up farms over there. They clean out, see, even Queen from England, you know, give them credit.
Okay, can you tell me what port that you left from? The name of the port that
I. By train, I went to Danzig. That used to be under Germany, but that's a Polish port, Danzig. From Danzig, we got to Bremen, I believe, to Germany. And from there, we got another boat, and we went to London. In London, we got train and got by train to Southampton, England. In Southampton, we got big boat and go to stop in Cherbourg, France, pick up some customers there, and went to New York. 5 days took us. That was the biggest ship they had that time, Leviathan. That was German ship, you know. That ship come to America before America went to war, you know. And when they went to war, America kept that ship here. They never let that ship go no more. I don't know what the name of that ship was, but now they call it Leviathan.
It was the Imperator. When it was Germany, it was the Imperator, and they changed it to the Leviathan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great ship story.
That was a big ship. That was a nice ship. It was a good ship. That ship didn't stop in Ellis Island. Maybe it was too big, I don't know. It went to United States Pier someplace on 44th Street or something there. That's where I was parked, and because I know across the street I see Lipton Tea was signed blinking. So I knew how to read English. I used to say Lipton Tea.
Can you talk about what the accommodations were like on the ship?
On the ship was good. So what, they give you good eat, you had good sleep. I didn't get sick. I eat candy. Say they eat candy, you might throw up, you know. Didn't bother me.
Can you describe the food that you ate when you were on the ship?
What?
The food.
Food
that you ate on the ship.
Food was first class, everything. I never see food like that in my country. Oh no, you had good, you know. Was in American style. So we got here and stay night on a ship, and next day tugboat pick us up and took us over to Ellis Island. So spend there all day till maybe, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night, maybe later. Went through over there. They examine you, they check on you, everything. If anything wrong, you know, they could turn you back.
Can you describe seeing land for the first time?
What?
When you were on the ship?
Yeah.
And you came into New York?
Yeah.
Can you describe how you felt when you saw land for the first time?
Over here?
Over here.
Oh, from Ellis Island?
Right, when you were on the boat and you came in.
Well, when I come to New York, see, boat took us over to the Ellis Island, and from Ellis Island they let you go to New York, to the ground, to the, you know, they let you go. When they finished with you and you was okay, so they took you over on a ferry boat to that federal building there in, well, you're from Jersey City. You know, that on the corner, there was, I forgot anyway that. But anyway, they took you over there and go any place you wanna. So we had interpreter, Polish guy, and it was already late. And he took us over to Polish nun's place. And we stayed there overnight. We had a supper, started that night. Next day my mother come and pick her up.
And what was it like to see your mother once again for when you hadn't seen her for many years?
I don't know. It wasn't so many years, it was only three. When you go through something like this, you know, so many years or whatever, you know, you don't think. You think what you see, what you got, you know. Whatever you see, you know, and you could have it, you know, it's yours. So next day, they pick us up, and my mother was married second time, so the stepfather, he worked on the railroad. Well, mostly all immigrants, they work on any railroad, you know, but they work on the Erie Railroad, where they was fixing boxcars, you know, railroad. So I got job there, plain laborer, 40 cents an hour.
Before we progress too far, because this is very interesting about the railroad, let's make sure we're finished with the ship and with Ellis Island. It might be a good time to ask just a simple, broad question like, is there anything else you remember about being on the ship? And he may or may not, Mr. Havey may say something. And then, is there anything else you remember about being on Ellis Island? And then, when that's done, then we can segue into getting the job, because I think this is very interesting. Okay.
Well, is there anything else that you remember about being on the ship?
On the ship, everything was okay. But Ellis Island, I know you went through all different kind of physicals, you know, examination, cleanup and everything, you know, and that took long time because there was a lot of people. There was so many people there. And from all different places. So, but took time, you know, that nothing wrong with you physically, and everything okay, and no papers, everything. And that's about all. That's about all I remember, you know. I didn't have no problem. I was healthy, you know. But if you had something in your eye, you know, you could be turned back, see. It happened that all family was coming, you know, and one child couldn't go. It was something wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. Child go back, see?
Now, what about your sister was with you during this time, right?
She was the same thing.
Mm-hmm. How did she feel about Ellis Island? Did she have any problems at all?
She didn't have no problem. As long as you're healthy, you know, take time to go through everything, you know. As long as you're healthy, it wasn't much problem.
Okay, well, so then your mother met you.
Yeah.
And how did you get to, you went to Jersey City?
We went, we walked from the place, from that place, that is Nunn's place. We walked to Cortlandt Street, to Cortlandt Street, yeah. Get ferry boat was going that time. Was going to Jersey City, to Pennsylvania. Well, over there, what the hell they got now there? They got...
To exchange place? Did the boat...
Not exchange place. The ferry was... Grand. Montgomery Street. Montgomery, the ferry was coming to Montgomery Street. Now they have a building, see? So, get there and trolley car. And my mother live on West Side Avenue, go on trolley car to West Side Avenue. And that's it. I was home. Look for a job.
Who did you live with in Jersey City?
Who, in my aunt's home.
Your aunt's home?
Yeah, for a while, yeah.
Did anybody, it was just your sister and your mother and your aunt? Did anybody else live there?
Oh, my aunts and her son. Oh, there was a couple people lived there. Every house was occupied by many people.
Now, at this point, you mentioned that you knew English, or you knew it some English?
English? Well, I could show you how I read English, like I said. You know, I knew Latin alphabet. See, because Ukrainian alphabet is different, see. But I knew, because they taught us Polish, so you have to know Polish Latin alphabet. So for me, was to catch up, you know, look in the paper, you know, I think, well, I listen how people talk. English was no good. Well, I couldn't speak English, well, like any immigrant. But where I work, you know, there was all Ukrainian people, Polish people, some Italian people, you know, doing this job. So you don't have to speak English over there. The big foreman was Ukrainian, so he was very good. And boss was Irishman, so he never bothered anybody. When he go to inspect the tracks, he always whistle, you know, so everybody knew boss coming. So he never bothered anybody. So that's why he whistled and he's coming, see. And my job to help plain labor was easy. Worked there almost 2 years and I quit. I went on Barry's job, well, get 50 cents an hour. I went in painting line. I was a house painter. After that, I learned how to paint, so I was doing that all my lifetime. I was mostly self-employed.
As a house painter?
House painter. Paper hanger. Just like Hitler. Hitler was paper hanger.
So did you ever go to night classes to learn English, or did you just learn it, teach yourself?
I tried night school for maybe a month or two, and I couldn't learn anything. I don't know. It just didn't work for me, and I quit. And little by little, you know, you're catching up.
What kind of did your sister work during this time?
My sister, yeah, she got a job to work in New York, take care of the house. All these young ladies that they came from the other side, Jewish people, you know, was going after them to get them as a mate, you know, to work, because they knew that they clean, you know. So she got one of these jobs.
Did she live with them?
And they, you know, they like these people that was in business, they had dress business, you know, business. So my sister always get new dress and everything. They like her, you know, because she was, but when they come where we used to live, you know, when my mother, when she come to see us, that lady, the Jewish lady, to see where we live, you know, and a lot of way she look if it's clean everything in the house, especially in the stove. And my mother used to keep stove nice and clean, you know. See, she looks the stove clean. Right away, my sister got a job. Yeah. Oh, a lot of these young ladies, they get these jobs, you know. She got that job until she got married.
We're going to pause just for a moment again.
Okay.
All right.
You were talking about your sister getting the job.
Yeah. Yeah, that was finished.
Okay. What did your mother do during this time?
My mother, well, my stepfather, you know. there was one, there was three children, you know, and one still have to take care of her. So she, but then she got job, you know, in the laundry, so she worked because, you know, the, on the railroad they didn't make much, and if you had little kids and something also long. So, so you need money. So my mother started to work and to keep the house going, you know.
Now you said the, you had she had kids.
Her second husband had three kids, you know.
Oh, okay.
But my mother didn't have no more children.
Okay, what was her her husband's name?
Andrew.
And his last name?
He's Ukrainian.
His last name, Andrew.
Oh, Rubinowitz.
Can you spell that?
Rubinowitz.
Well, Rabinowitz, R A. B-I-N. Do you want to write it? Would that help? Here, you can just use the blank page. Mr. Havey is spelling out Mr. Rabinowitz's name.
Okay. R-U-B-I-N-O-W-I-C-Z.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that's why. So that my writing finished third grade grammar school.
You did a good job with Rabinowitz. It's fine.
So what?
So when did your mother get remarried?
Like when she got married, when she got here, so right away there was a lot of friends from our village, you know, our cousin and other people. So right away they make her married, they make her get married with that guy. Mm-hmm. And he need help, you know, children. So that's how she got married. I don't know exactly how it was going, you know, but I wasn't around.
Did you like him? How did you?
No, I didn't like him. He was alcoholic and he was rough. I didn't like him. But what are you gonna do? I stayed with him for a while and then he died, you know. These riot people worked, they used to get TB, you know, they was dying on TB. He died in 1927, I believe, and then we lived together, these children and my mother and me.
How old were the children?
One girl was finished grammar school, so she got working papers, she worked. See, those days when you finish grammar school, you know, you get working paper or you could work any place. And one was going to school. I don't know what grade, and one still was baby, you know. So she took care.
Oops, speaks the mic. Just putting the microphone back on.
So that's that.
Were you close to the children?
Yeah, that was nice. It was all right. So then I quit a railroad. And
before you go on with that, can you describe exactly what you did on the railroad?
Picking up scrap, you know, and broken wood on pile and burn it. Usually, see, they fix boxcars, there's a lot of scrap, you know, metal scrap and But at that time there was boxcar, wooden boxcar, and all that. Well, that was job and anything.
Okay, and then you went into business for yourself as a painter?
No, I got job in Brunswick Laundry, a big laundry there, and there was one painter. He was Ukrainian. He was, if something need to clean up, so that was his job, you know, to get people and do something. So he get me job there, and I work with him for a while, maybe 2 years, and then on and off. And then little by little, I start to pick up job on my own, you know, I learn how to do it. And I learned pretty good that business. And then I went, you know, during depression wasn't so, you know, it was pretty rough. We painted rooms, apartment, four-room apartment, we was getting $45. And they painted one room over here, a small room, they pay $150.
Today?
Yeah, they just did one room. But then I was called to the army, 1941, in March, St. Patrick's Day. 3 days in Fort Dix, and they shipped us to South Carolina for Jackson. So I spent there until August 45. So in States and overseas.
Can you tell me, when did you meet your wife?
When I met my wife? Oh, I knew her for a long time when I was civilian, you know. You used to go to the same church, you know. It wasn't like today, you know. It wasn't like you see on television, you know. She sang in choir, you know, church choir. And so we knew a lot of boys, you know, used to go out. Well.
Did you get married before or after you were in the
No, area? After I came back. I was going to get married before I went, but I got low number, you know. When we register, I don't know, that was 1940 or 39, I think 1940. From 18 up to 36, you register, see? So, and then I got low number, so I was called in March, see? I was already over 36 when I went to the army, but I registered, I wasn't 36 yet, see? If you register today, you wasn't 36, and tomorrow you're 36, you in army. That's how it was. Oh, a lot of older guys, they used to take a lot of people there. So, I was with infantry, machine gunner. And I got, my knee started to bother me on desert in Arizona. And I wind up in hospital. And my whole outfit went east. I was already 1940, see? 1944. And they just went to England. And I was in the hospital, I couldn't go with them no more. So they sent me to replacement center in San Bernardino, California. I was there about maybe 10 days, and they stick me with combat engineers. So with the engineers, I went to Pacific.
Okay. So then when you got back from the war,
yeah.
you married your wife.
When I got back, I lived with my sister for a little bit. And I got back in August. In September, I got married. So I was already older guy. Well, if I didn't get married at that time, I figured I want to get married, you know. If I didn't get married at that time when I wanted, I probably wouldn't be married. Well, anyway, that's the way it was. So I see a little action in South Pacific. So that's it.
Okay. Can you keep? And then you had your children. How many children did you have?
Two boys, two sons.
I would actually like to know the name of Mr. Havey's wife and her maiden name and the children's names.
My wife's name, Mary Demetrisa.
Here, I'll spell the maiden name for us. Mr. Havey is spelling out his wife's maiden name.
First name was Mary.
Yeah.
And then her last name is D M Y T R Y S.
Matricia.
Matricia. Okay, and the names of your children?
Who?
Your children, what were their names?
My children?
Mm-hmm.
This one is Bill, and younger one is Tommy. There's picture of them over there.
Why don't we go about and go to the final questions? We're almost actually out of time on the second take.
Right, yeah, so. Okay, how do you think of yourself in terms of nationality?
Nationality? Well, I'm an American citizen, but nationality, I'm Ukrainian. I never want to say I'm not Ukrainian no more. American politician tell you if you don't respect your own nationality, then you're no good American citizen. That's what they tell you. So I'm in a Ukraine nationality. I'm Ukrainian. And we have a good culture. And hardworking people.
Okay. Can you tell me, how do you think your life would have been different had you not come to America?
God knows. I run away from Polish army. I was too young yet to Polish army, and that's how they let me go. If I was in age that they was drafted in 19... They was drafting when you 21, and I was only 18, you know. So then they wouldn't let me go. So, and if they kept me 3 years in an army, so the war, the way it was going, so I never would be here.
Can you offer any advice to those who might listen to this interview many years from now?
No, I don't know what kind of advice.
Just any kind of advice for a living?
the ones that come in here, to those people that want to come to this country?
To anyone who, people in this country who might listen to this interview, say, 100 years from now. I mean, someone, you know, your age obviously knows a thing or two about how to live a long life.
I tell you, these people, after Second World War, you know, there was a lot of immigrants came from Germany. The one that worked in Germany, you know, a lot of Polish people, Ukrainian and others, you know, they come over here, you know, it didn't cost them anything. And but they was hardworking people, you know, and they still are. When they got over here and Truman took over, you know, he was president, and he asked asked all factory people, you know, to give these people jobs, because they came from hell, you know, from Hitler's country. So Truman spoke for them. When I come here, nobody spoke for me, you know. I try the best, but I learned how to paint, and I was all the time advancing, you know. I did good job for the people, you know, and they used to like my jobs, and I didn't have to put in the paper who wanted have a paint call me up. I didn't have to do that. I was getting my job through recommendation. I did job in your place. You like your friends come. Oh, who did that? Good, nice looking job. And I got customers. Like, I was making that living. And thanks God, you know, I said, if I have to work on my knees, my boys have to go to college. I did it, because my father, he didn't know how to sign his name, see? So I didn't learn a hell of a lot, but I was a hardworking man, that's all. But my boys, thanks God, and they graduated on math, you know, which is very good. And that grandson, his son, he's better yet than his father.
Talking about your son, Bill's son.
Yeah. Well, the younger I got no kids.
We should do the conclusion now.
Okay.
We have just about a minute left.
Well, that's a good place to end the interview. I want to thank you very much for taking the time for us to come out and speak with you about your immigration experience. This is Lauren Lancaster, a student intern from Rutgers University, signing off with William Havey on March 18th, 1999, for the Ellis Island Oral History Project.
Great. Thank you, both of you. You did a great job.
Well, I hope...